Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Oh, happy Mother's Day, everyone. Just want to say how much I appreciate all of you moms. And I know we've done a lot of celebrating of you, but I think you deserve a whole lot more, right? You know, they've said once that when a child is young, they look at mom and they say, wow, mom, they run to mom, right? Mom has all the answers. Mom's the one that heals the boo-boos, you know, all that stuff. Then they get a little bit older, right? And they, you know, they get to that age where they're maybe in junior high and it's like, mom, you know, she knows a few things. Then they get to be a teenager and mom doesn't know anything. And then they get to their 20s and they're like, oh, maybe mom knows a few things. And then they get to their 40s and you got mom on speed dial, right? Because you're like, mom is right. She said it. She was right. And then you get to your 50s and your 60s and you think, I wonder what mom would have said and done in this moment. And so we can laugh and at all of those moments, but we really do want to honor you as moms and celebrate you. And, you know, there are some here today that I realize that you so desperately want to be a mom. And maybe it hasn't happened for you yet. Or maybe you have and you lost that baby in the womb. I believe that today God is here and his presence is here to comfort you, to reassure you that he sees you. He knows that today is difficult and painful, and his comfort is here for you today. And that you are a mama, those of you that have lost those children in the womb. You are a mama, and so I want to honor you today. All right? Whew! All right, everybody take a deep breath. That was a heavy moment, but I just felt like God wanted to say it this morning. Well, I am excited to be with you today. It's been a while since I've preached, and so I'm excited because I believe that God has placed a message on my heart for us today. We're in our series, Revival, and we're going to continue with that. And there are a few statements that we have made over the last several weeks in our series. And I'm going to go ahead and review those together once again. We're talking about revival. And a spiritual revival is not something that we bring about, but rather something that we position ourselves to be a part of. Amen? All spiritual revivals are God-ordained and God-initiated. And if you would like paper notes, our ushers are right here for you, and they're going to hook you up with those paper notes. You can just slip your hand up in the air. Or you can go to our app, and you can text our Canvas Church number. You can text app to that, and you can get the notes right there on your phone. So all spiritual revivals are God-ordained and God-initiated. But on a personal level, what does a spiritual revival look for us? What are we talking about when we talk about a revival happening in our lives? It looks like God bringing us back to a love for his word, a love for worship, a love for being in community with other believers, and a desire to walk in his ways. Amen? That's what we're talking about when we're talking about seeing a revival take place in our personal lives. Now, what we've done in this series is we said, you know what, we're not going to look at revivals in the past, in history. We're gonna look at the very first revival that we see taking place, and we see it in Scripture in the book of Acts. And so what we've done is we've dove in to the book of Acts, and we're looking at what transpired in that very first revival. Well, we've been in the first few chapters. We've been camping out there, but I want to take us, and I want to fast forward all the way to chapter 16 because it's Mother's Day. And so I want to look at a woman in the Bible today, and I want to look at something that transpired in her life, of a revival that took place in her. And I believe that we have a lot that we're going to glean from the life of Lydia today. So we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. If you'll look at the scripture with me, turn in your Bible. You can look to the screens. I'm going to be reading from the NIV translation. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. This is interesting. We're going to make note of this, okay? Verse 8, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they travel and they find themselves in Philippi. And it says in verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Now, when we're in the scriptures and we're reading about the apostles gathering together on the Sabbath, typically we see them gathering in the synagogue, okay? But in this city, in Philippi, it's assumed that maybe they didn't have enough Jewish men to form a quorum necessary to establish a synagogue in Philippi. So what in a circumstance like that, what would take place is they would typically gather outside of the city in a place of prayer. And so they did just that by a river. And it says, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Verse 14, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Do I have any women out there that are good at persuading? Come on. I know you. I see you, Miss Miriam. And then we see, as we continue on in chapter 16, we see some things begin to take place in the city of Philippi. We see that, and for the sake of time, we're not going to read all the verses, but we see that there's a young girl in the city, and she is influenced by a demonic spirit, and Paul and Silas minister to this young girl, and she is delivered miraculously from this evil spirit. And then we see that then Paul and Silas actually get imprisoned. They get put into prison for doing this good deed, and there's a whole lot to this story, so I encourage you to read it later. But as they're in prison, the Bible says that they're praying and they're worshiping, and then something miraculously takes place. Their prison doors are opened and they are freed. But in that moment that their prison doors were opened, the jailer, the one that's in charge of keeping the prison, comes running to them pleading, what must I do to be saved? And in that moment, the jailer and all his household are saved and they are baptized. And then after that, in verse 40, we see that Paul and Silas, after they come out of prison, after the jailer is saved, his household is saved, and they are baptized, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left and went on their way to continue to minister the gospel to other regions. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your presence that's here. God, your word says that wherever two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. And Lord, we just acknowledge that this morning. And God, we choose this morning to position ourselves through prayer, through worship, to receive your word today. God, I pray that you minister to each one of us in only the way that you can. God, we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, my family and I grew up in the Northwest, and growing up in the Northwest, during the winter, we were skiing on the mountains. During the summer, we were skiing on the lakes or the rivers. And so every summer, maybe one or two here or there, our family goes up to the Northwest. We go over to Eastern Washington, and we go to a river over there, and we go skiing. Wakeboarding, we are knee boarding and inner tubing. How many of you love to do that kind of stuff out on the water? Oh, absolutely love it. So there was this one summer that we were out, and we were on the river, and some of the kids were knee boarding. And they finished up. They're climbing on the boat. And they're like, who's going to go next? Whose turn is it next? And they're like, Mom, you got to go. Go kneeboarding. And I'm like, okay. I mean, it had been maybe a decade since I had kneeboarded. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and kneeboard. Skiing is my thing. Slalom skiing is my thing. Love it. But I'm like, you know what? I'll have some fun. I'll get on the kneeboard. No problem. Okay. So I get out there and I get ready. I get up on the kneeboard and I'm holding onto the rope. Well, what I didn't realize is that in that time period while I'm getting out there into the water, a boat had passed by. This wasn't just any ordinary boat, but it was a boat that happened to have a wake surfer behind it. Now, if you've ever seen a boat with a wake surfer behind it, that boat is going very slow. The reason why the boat is going very slow is because it's creating a wake behind it that's big enough for a person to be on a surfboard and surf without holding onto a rope behind it. So they're surfing the wake from that boat. Okay, so you got this image here? A boat had passed by. I didn't realize that. I get up on the kneeboard, and I'm having a good old time. I'm like, it's been 10 years. I'm on my knees, and my feet are falling asleep, right? Because they're full. Yeah, not a good thing. But I'm having fun. I'm having a good time. I'm out there. Well, then all of a sudden, I kind of look in the distance, and the family members on the boat start going like this. Okay, if you've ever been with us on a boat, this is a symbol for waves are coming, get ready, okay? And I'm just, my eyes get big, and I'm like, okay, I know what to do. I got this. I'm holding on for dear life, and I'm like, I know, I'm just going to go with the flow, go with the waves. Oh, no, ladies and gentlemen. This wave was no little ripple. This wave was a massive wave. Now, when I hit that wave on the kneeboard, it launched me into the air. Okay, yeah. And then as I'm in the air, mind you, I'm still holding onto the rope and the boat's pulling me. So then I'm going from this to this. And I face plant it right into the water. I mean, it was painful. It was hilarious. Everyone on the boat, as they whip back around to get me, and I've got my thumb up in the air because we do a thumbs up to let the people on the boat know we're alive. You know, I'm like, I'm alive, but I'm in pain. And I'm like, get me in this boat. And they are cracking up. They are almost crying. They're laughing so hard. Now, what you got to understand is I had no idea that this was coming because the boat was long gone. The boat was long gone. It was nowhere in sight, but the ripple effect from that boat made a massive impact on me. Now, what we see in this passage today, we see a woman, and she positioned herself to experience a move of God in her life. But it didn't just stay with her. There was a ripple effect that was created in that moment when she experienced a move of God in her life. It created a ripple effect that had an effect on her household, on her city, and on the regions around her. There was a ripple effect. There was an impact that came as a result of one woman's choice to position herself in a place of prayer and worship to receive from the Lord. And so I want to look at that this morning. I want to look at what took place in the life of Lydia. What took place? Because I believe that when we position ourselves to experience a revival in our own hearts and in our own lives, I believe that it never just stays with us. It never just stays here with us, but I believe that it touches our loved ones, our coworkers, it touches our city, and I believe it's exactly what the Lord wants to do in your life and through your life today. And you might be sitting here, you might be like, amen, yes, pastor, that's what I've been praying for. You might be here today going, I don't know what she's talking about. Either one of you, it's okay. If you're one that you're like, I'm not so sure about this thing, I just invite you to just join with us. Check this faith thing out. I believe God's going to minister to you this morning. But let's take a look at this woman, Lydia. Who is she? The scriptures tell us that Lydia is a businesswoman. She's a woman, she's a dealer in purple cloth. Now, this is a business that a business that really appealed to the elite. Only the elite, those that were had means and great wealth, were those that would buy cloth dyed with purple. So she is a businesswoman, has a fairly well-off business, and we'll see in a moment. But then secondly, she's a woman of wealth. She's a woman of wealth. Now, how do we know that? Well, when we look at the passage, many scholars take a look at the fact that she invited Paul and all of her companions to come and lodge with her in her house. So her house must have been big enough, not just for her, not just for her household, but also to house Paul and all of his companions that were traveling with her. So she was a woman of means, a woman of wealth. Number three, she was apparently an independent woman. Now, there's no mention of a husband. There's no mention of any male relatives. She doesn't confer with her husband before she goes to invite Paul and his companions to come and lodge at her house. So it appears as though she is an independent woman. Number four, the scripture tells us she's a God worshiper. She is a God worshiper. Now, we don't know for certain, based on the information that we have in scripture, but either she is a woman of Jewish descent, or she's a Gentile that had converted to Judaism. But we do know that she is a woman that had yet to receive the gospel and accept Christ into her life, because that's what takes place in this moment. So this is the woman that we see in this passage today. And she experiences a move of God in her life. Now, we've talked about many times here at Canvas that there are really two components to every move of God, right? There are two components. There is the God sovereignty component. That's the but God. That's the only God can do, right? That's the thing that only God can do. And secondly, it's the human responsibility component to a move of God. That's the what we can do part. Mm-hmm. The revival that took place in Lydia's life, as we talked about before, was God-initiated. Every move of God, every revival is God-initiated, God-ordained. This is the God's sovereignty part of this passage. We see it early on in verses 6 through 10, where Paul is in another region. He's in another city, and he is desiring to go to Asia. He's desiring to go to a completely different place to preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit prevented him, stopped him in his tracks. You're not supposed to go there. Then the Lord goes further to give Paul a vision of a man pleading with him, come to Macedonia, come and help us here. So we see that the God's sovereignty aspect of the move of God that takes place in Lydia's life, where the Holy Spirit is the one that directed Paul to go to Macedonia, to go to Philippi. But then we see this woman, Lydia, this businesswoman, this woman of wealth. We see that the human responsibility side, we see that she was one that positioned herself through prayer and worship to experience a move of God in her life. So we see God's sovereignty and we see human responsibility right here in this passage with Lydia. Now, some of us may have looked, and maybe even during that time, some may have looked at Lydia and thought, man, she's a successful woman. She's a businesswoman. She's got a business that's bringing in finances, and not just a little bit of finances, but this is costly cloth that she is selling. She's a successful businesswoman. She's a woman that has wealth. She's a woman, she's got the home. She's got the job. She's got the money, but how many of you know there was still a void in her life? There was still a void. There was still something missing. And I know that there's some of us here today that was our story, wasn't it? That we had the means, we had the job, we had all the things, but there was still something missing. And that's when God enters into the scenario and brings Paul in that intersection of God's sovereignty and human responsibility, she hears the gospel. And as she hears the gospel, she receives it. And she understands that Christ came to this earth and died on the cross, that her sins might be forgiven so that forever she could be reunited with God, with the Heavenly Father, and experience his love and his grace and his goodness. That void in her life is filled in that moment when she responds to the message that Paul is bringing. And then the ripple effect begins to take place. I want to look at that. What begins to happen after this moment that Lydia, with an open heart, receives the message of Paul and surrenders her life to Christ and is baptized? What is the ripple effect? Number one, her whole household was saved and baptized. Her whole household was saved and baptized. Now, we don't know the details around it. Sometimes I wish the Bible would give me more detail. We don't know if she went home and said, you all get gathered together. You need to hear what happened, what this guy said down by the river. We don't know if she went and told him. We don't know if she said, hey, you guys come. And if she brought them and said, okay, now, Paul, tell them what you told me. We don't know if they just simply saw the excitement and the passion and the transformation that happened in her life. And as a result of that, they came and they said, we want that too. We don't know exactly what it looked like, but what we do know is the encounter that she had in that moment, it didn't just stay with her, but it affected her entire household. And I believe that there are some of you here today that you are longing for that to take place, that you've had an encounter with God, and you've had an encounter with the love of God, and you've surrendered your life to Christ. And you are longing to see your household come to know him as you know him. I want to encourage you today. The Bible says that God is long-suffering. The ripple effect is coming. That moment when you surrender to Christ may be long gone, but have faith and trust that God is still working in the members of your household. Do you believe for that? I believe that. I believe that. Secondly, we see that the move of God began to take place in her city. She was the very first convert in the city. I find that interesting. In the vision that Paul had, it was a man pleading with him, come and help us. And the help came in the form of Paul ministering at a river to a group of women. And through a woman surrendering to Christ, we see a move of God ignited in a city. We see a young girl miraculously delivered from an evil spirit. We see prison doors miraculously opened and jailers surrendering to Christ and whole households coming to know the Lord. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible. Third, we see that the first church in Philippi starts in her home. Many scholars believe, based on what we see in the passages of Scripture, that it was Lydia's house where the believers would gather. We see that in verse 40. Paul and Silas are released from prison. The first place they go to is Lydia's house. And what do they do at Lydia's house? They gather with the brethren. They gather with the believers. They encourage them. And then they go on their way to go and minister to other regions. So number four, the gospel spread to other regions, the ripple effect. Her household, the city, the first church is established in her home. The gospel begins to spread to other regions. And you're like, where do you see that at, Katie? Actually, I see it in Philippians 4, verses 15 and 16. Paul, when he sends a letter back to the church in Philippi, he says this in Philippians 4, 15 and 16. He says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintances with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. What is that saying? That is telling us that the church in Philippi, the ripple effect that happened in Philippi didn't stay in Philippi. That God used the believers in Philippi, the church in Philippi, to support Paul in his missionary journeys. That the gospel is being spread because of their financial support to regions far beyond them. What God does in you and in your heart and in your life never just stays with you. Never just stays with you. What God does in us, I'm a firm believer that He also wants to do through us. What God does in us, God also wants to do through us. I was a result of the ripple effect. I think every one of us, if we sit back, we realize that, man, each one of us here in this room is a result of someone else's surrender to Christ. If I'm here in this room and I'm reflecting, it goes all the way back to Naomi. As a child, surrendering to Jesus, growing up and passing on her faith and her love for the Lord and being a model and example of a woman of God to her children affected her household, affected my husband. Years and years passed by, and here I come and I see this guy. Like, there's something different about him. He's cute. He's tall. He's funny. Plays basketball. But there's something different about him. He talks about God like he's real. He talks about God like he has a relationship with him. I'll never forget that first time he invited me to church in an atmosphere much like we were in today. Worship started. And I'm looking around a girl that was broken. I was kind of like Lydia in the sense that I grew up in a home that had plenty of finances, had lots of love. But there was a void in my life that caused me to go and search and try to fill that void with relationships, with substances. So I found myself broken, found myself in need. I found myself trying to fill a void that no amount of money and no number of relationships could ever fill. And then the ripple effect from Naomi to Ben hits me. I'm in that moment of worship and I realize, whoa. God's real. He's real. And he actually loves me. He actually wants me. Despite my failures, despite my mess, despite all of the choices and decisions I made, he loves me. I surrender to Christ. So, you know, it doesn't stop there. Then my brother comes down. Next thing I know, my brother's recommitting his life to Christ, surrendering to the Lord. Now my daughters. It was about 17 years that passed by. I remember that moment when I accepted Christ and I am just jacked up in a good way, like excited. Not like jacked up, like messed up, but jacked up, like really, like passionate. Like God is real and he loves me and he loves you too and you need to know that. Like that's how I felt. I wanted my whole family to know how much God loved them and how good he was. But it was somewhere around 15 to 17 years before I sat with my grandfather. I got to pray with him, to receive Christ before he passed. The ripple effect. The ripple effect. Can I have the band go ahead and come on up? The Bible says in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's a move of God for you, for me. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with Jesus. I don't know where you're at and maybe some needs that are represented in your life. Maybe you are like a Lydia and there's a void, there's something missing. To everybody else, it might look like everything is put together, but there's this area of your life that you need God to come and only God can fill. Maybe you're here today and you are desperate for a breakthrough in your life. Maybe you just, for the first time, need to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe you're desperate for a miracle. I don't know what move of God you need to take place in your life, but I do know this. I know that God is faithful. God is good. God is loving. God is moving, even when you don't see it. And our part, much like Lydia, is just simply to position ourselves, to make ourselves available to receive from the Lord, make ourselves available and position ourselves for God to move and do what only He can do. Would you join me and go ahead and stand at your feet? This is what I feel like we need to do this morning. This is what I want to invite you to do this morning before we conclude. We're not going to conclude just yet. This is what I want to do, because I know where I'm at today. I know the move of God that I need to take place in my life today. I know the revival that I want to see happen in my life and through my life. But I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what you need today. But here's what I do know. That I do know that, like Lydia's, we position ourselves, that God will meet us right where we're at. So as we begin to prepare to conclude our morning together, I would like to go into this moment of worship. And I would like to invite you to just take a moment to position yourself. Say, God, I'm here. God, I'm open. God, I'm ready. Move in my life.
An open space for you to come, have your way. I am open, I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come, have your way. I am open, I am open. My heart is an open space. Your way, I am alone.
I believe there are some individuals here this morning that what God is doing in your life it truly is going to impact the generations after you. I believe that there's someone here today that you have been battling with some generational strongholds, some things that maybe your parents, your grandparents never overcame. So like God wants to encourage you today and say, your breakthrough is here. Your freedom in that area is now.
Amen.
And he wants to declare to you that your breakthrough is their breakthrough. Your breakthrough is their breakthrough. Susan, I feel like God wants to encourage you this morning. The verse that he gave me was he's long suffering. He sees your faithfulness. He has heard every prayer, and he sees every tear. It has not fallen on deaf ears. He is long suffering. He's long suffering, not willing that any in your household would perish. I believe that he's bringing an encouragement and a strengthening to you today. Thank you, Jesus. Someone here this morning, your surrender this morning is going to lead to many others surrendering to Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Or maybe you have in the past and you just know you've been far from God for a while. And you know that today is a day that you just need to return to Jesus. You need to return back to that relationship, your first love. So everybody, for a moment, if we could, just close your eyes for this moment. And really the only reason why I do that is because I want to give anyone here this morning that needs to respond and let me know that they are that person, that they can let me know and just lifting their hand up and waving at me so I know who I'm going to be praying for this morning. But if you're here this morning with everybody's eyes closed, and that's you, that today is a day that you need to surrender to Jesus, that you need to receive his unconditional love and grace over your life, and you need to just surrender your life to him once again, and that's you. You just shoot your hand up in the air so I know who I'm going to be praying for this morning. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else this morning? You need to pray a prayer and just say, Jesus, I invite you back in, Lord and Savior of my life. Okay. Can we do this as a church family? Can we pray with those individuals that raised their hand this morning? Just repeat after me, would you? Say, Jesus, I come to you today and I surrender. I surrender my life to you. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Lead me. Guide me. Direct me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I believe that your surrender this morning is going to lead to others surrendering to Jesus. Amen. And this is what we're going to do as we conclude our service this morning. I believe that There are some here this morning that you need a miracle in your life. You need God to move and do a miracle. And I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what, you're at a church that believes that God, the God we serve is a God of miracles, not just yesterday, but today, amen? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That he was a miracle worker then, in the days of the scriptures, he's a miracle worker today. And so as we conclude our service this morning, I'm gonna say a prayer for all of us today. And as I do, and as you're on your way out, feel free to go pick up your children, bring them on back in. And if you need prayer for a miracle for anything, any area of your life, we're gonna have some pastors, some prayer team members up here at the altar. And we would love to join with you and pray with you for whatever you're facing in your life, whatever miracle you're believing for, because I believe that the miracle that you are about to experience is gonna unlock the faith for others to believe for their miracles as well. Do you believe that? I believe that. There's a ripple effect. It's happening. It's happening in our city. It's happening in your life. God's going to do it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we see in scripture that God, you are sovereign, that you are good, and that you meet individuals right where they're at. And God, I thank you that you've met many of us, encouraged us through your word. And God, I believe that there are revivals taking place in our heart, in our lives. And God, we pray that that would continue on and impact our families, impact our workplaces, impact our city. And God, use us to impact the nations. Lord, we love you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. God bless. Come on up if you need prayer for anything. We would love to pray with you this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.